where we kind of move our meeting times around, so full board meeting. So we're gonna have a larger discussion of that at the full board meeting on April 1st about a permanent schedule. It does have to be on a permanent basis and a regular schedule to comply with the Brown Act. So we need to make sure that we can meet both the Revel City Council members' needs and the Board of Supervisors. So we'll have an agenda item for that. In the meantime, I plan on sending out a memo with the existing meeting schedule as planned.
So our meeting on the 1st is...
It's April 8th, I'm sorry.
April 8th, and
yes.
At what time?
5. Yeah.
Okay, so that is...
That's in lieu of the April 1st meeting.
That is JPA 2
full board
meeting,
yes.
5 o'clock.
Yes.
But I don't have a location.
Board of Supervisors.
Okay, board chamber. All right, I do have, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I do have, all right.
Okay.
That's very good. At 5 o'clock.
5 p.m.
5 of the p.m.
Okay. Any public comments from the board here? Prior to the meeting, I did tell
Rachel
that I appreciated how she's doing the emails and the date and the time and the location,
yep.
And I can just transfer it right to my...
Yep.
Thank you.
Without looking at the agenda, I really appreciate that.
We'll
close public comment. We'll go to regular items. First, item 3A, the minutes. We're just three of us. Can we approve them?
Anybody have any changes?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I would say is that you'll notice that these minutes are back from May 15th, 2013. That's the last time that the executive committee has actually met. And one of the other larger discussions that we may have at the next full board meeting is possibly looking at the roles of the executive committee. Because what I find as a director is that the roles of the executive committee are so limited that I end up having to schedule on a special full board meeting, and then it makes having an executive committee meeting unnecessary. Because we've had a special full board meeting. And so whether the board wants to maybe look at changing some of the roles of the executive committee is a possibility.
Well, for that discussion, why would it even exist as an executive? Why don't we just do it as a full board?
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be a larger discussion. It's very difficult to get the full board together for special meetings. That is the one challenge. But I would recommend it either way, either giving more responsibility to the executive committee or eliminating the executive committee altogether. That would be my recommendation.
Are we going to discuss that on the 8th?
Yes.
Very good. With that, we have a motion and a second on the minutes.
Also move.
Second.
Moved by... Rob, and seconded by Steve. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And item B, warrant register. Anything out of the ordinary other than the move expenses?
Nope, nothing out of the ordinary. The only thing that I would say that we have now started doing per your request is putting a lot more detail into the explanations of what the expenses are, so I hope that proves useful for you.
Can I have the same motion?
Sure. I'll second.
You want me to get first?
Okay, I'll also move.
All right.
The warrant as presented.
We'll go to regular item, phase one office design proposal.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and pass this around. This is a little bit better at the color.
from the landowners out there?
The only continual contact I get is from a woman by the name of Lorraine Graves that Supervisor Shamblin has spoke to, as well as Supervisor Bruce. She contacts on a regular basis. She doesn't like seeing the landfill as she drives down Plymire Road.
How long has she lived there?
Well, she has only lived there a few years, from my understanding.
5 to 7 years. So she lived next to a landfill in Nevada before.
And she didn't see it when she drove in to buy it the first time?
Yeah.
But we've been working to...
Sandy spent a lot of time.
Yes, and I've spent a considerable amount of time with her. It's very hard to address her current concerns. If you talk with any CalRecycle staff person, any person that manages a landfill, they are always very impressed with the site. She is not impressed with the site. I continue to work, but it's one of those situations where it's very hard to make her happy. I would venture to say that I will not be able to make her happy.
There are people out there. She's one of the things you cannot take out.
Question in regards to that, with you not being at the scale house now, are those people that are there still going to direct her to you?
Yes.
Rather than trying to do it themselves and piss her off more?
Yes. So one of the items with the new contract is that Waste Connections has to keep track of all incoming phone calls, and it's almost to the point of ridiculousness. That they have to track everybody who calls in, regardless of whether it's a complaint or not. So we're trying to work through some of those so that it's just really complaints that have to be logged. But I received notice of all incoming phone calls and of a general subject nature. So if somebody calls for prices, I get notice in a monthly report that somebody had called on X date to find out the prices for the landfill. Some of that information is useful. A lot of people are confused about the different agencies, the different responsibilities. We get a lot of phone calls on either side, the hauling operations. So some of that information is very useful, but it's a great amount of detail, I would say. But I do get notified anytime that there is a complaint. Because of the new contract, I anticipate that would continue, because there's liquidated damages if they don't refer complaints to us. So that being said, with the new office design proposal that you have before you, this was one of the goals of this fiscal year to complete. And at the October 1st full board meeting, the full board approved Lawrence and Associates to complete the phase one design process that's necessary to pursue a general plan amendment and a rezone that is necessary to build on the properties that are located west of the landfill Scale House Road. So you have that proposal before you. It does consist of a rough grading plan, an ISO patch drawing, plan and elevation views, and the utilities plan. I will say that since the time that I received this proposal, I did request that Lawrence and Associates amend the specifications to actually have a well drawn on the property itself rather than piping water up from the existing well. And the cost of the net cost over time is very closely the same to have a new well drawn rather than just pumping it up. And since the new well will be up gradient from the existing landfill, it is preferred given that employees will be drinking this water. The other change that I had requested was that they include landscaping along the north side to provide more aesthetics for the neighbors as they drive past, and hopefully reduce some of their concerns as well. What you also have before you is the rough cost estimate. And this isn't completely finalized, but I really wanted to get this to you so that you can see the totals of this new office. The grand total, given that this is a prevailing wage project, so I'm sure that you understand that this is much more expensive than a private entity building a new office. We have to pay prevailing wage. So the cost is $1.125 million, which is very high. There's a couple of different options that the agency can look at. They can look at funding this as is. This new office includes four office rooms for staff, a supply room, a document storage room, bathrooms, a mechanical room, a product reuse area, and a meeting room. It's 2,280 square feet. I do not feel that it is too big looking at 30 years into the future for the agency, but it's reasonable. If the agency were to grow, the reuse room could become an office as well. So there is options for future growth for the agency as time moves on. But as such, the cost is $1.125 million as currently planned. It does also include a storage area for agency belongings. We have a considerable amount of belongings that we store at Antelope Storage. And then we have two storage buildings at the landfill itself that are just C-train containers that get a lot of dirt and debris inside and are not ideal. So the plan does include those as well. So one option would be to go forward as planned, knowing that the agency does not have reserves sufficient to fund this entire building, so we would have to look for outside funding. There is a possibility that the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency could loan the money to this agency. So that's one possibility. Another possibility would to look at a prefabricated building. Some of the advantages of that would be some of the prevailing wage costs do not have to be paid because it's a prefabricated building. So that would reduce costs slightly.
Do you have any idea how much slightly?
I don't yet. And so that's what I asked Lawrence and Associates, and then they will be pulling those numbers together for me for April 1st right now. I just wanted to give you a sense of what we're looking at so I can get your comments. So that's an option as well. And then a third option, which I say is more risky long term, is housing the agency in its current location in a more permanent sense. Of course, there's a huge cost savings, but there's also a huge risk as far as it's very, it's more challenging. I wouldn't say that it's hugely difficult, but it's more challenging. My productivity is less because I have to be on site at the landfill more often where I can't get other work done at the same time. So it's certainly not ideal, but that is one third option, is just to keep us where we currently are.
I would think that removed from the site is a little dangerous, like you say, that you know, things can happen down there. Get away from it. You don't get to.
I think you need to be there to watch the country.
Mm-hmm. I would not support that over the long term as a temporary option. I think that will be okay, but as a permanent, it's going to be difficult over time. And you know, with the new contract, it is a very good contract and it is a very strong contract, and it pushes them to do what they're supposed to.
Only if they're watched.
But only if they're watched, because if they get caught, they have to pay liquidated damages. So it creates a lot of effort on my part. So that being said, I wanted to present this to you just so you have a good
foundation. So you need the 30 by 30 storage building that could be part of the original, or could be done at a later date.
It could be done at a later date.
The fire pump Is there a reason why you couldn't use it to do a well on site on the parcel with the building? Is there a reason why you couldn't use the water pump from the well for your fire protection pump?
You could.
And so what you could do is talk to the fire marshal about the possibility of using that pump, but having a second, separate electrical circuit, to see if that would serve. That might save you 25, so if you did those two things, you're about 110,000. So how much short are we?
We are short. We have about $400,000.
We're real short. Okay, let's just go back to the report. I think looking at that possibility, I would rather have a pump that works all the time be the pump that you need in an emergency if you can cut the circuit for everything else and use it, rather than have a pump that sits there and may not work when you need it. And I just like mechanics, I like it as simple as possible. So if we could look at that, that's a possible 25,000 save. And then if we had to, we could put off the storage building for after the completion of the original 34 by 80 building.
And that, honestly, if we were gonna cut some costs, mm-hmm. that's where I say we would cut it, because I can charge to the grants that we
right.
receive,
right.
I've been charged the storage building costs, the rental costs.
Yeah.
And I know every time the Sanitary Landfill Agency sees those costs for the storage unit, they don't necessarily like it, but at the same time, I can't fund the expenses of a new storage building, but I can fund the cost of a rental unit.
Right. Well, that's part of what systems do to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so...
So we can look at that.
I mean, just looking off the top, the utilities and trenching, you're not going to probably be able to do much with that.
No, and as they currently designed it, was to cut and fill the least amount
yeah.
possible. So it's placed where it needs to be placed.
Making the footprint that much smaller doesn't change any of the preparation cost. It doesn't change any of the design cost, really. So you're only saving the square footage and materials and a little bit of labor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't see,
mm-hmm.
I think we have to look at how we're going to fund the fund.
And so the other option could be, so there's basically a few different options of funding it. One would be to add, per ton rates to the tipping fee to fund the office. Another option would be, and of course, would be a loan from the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency. Of course, there would still have to be a per ton fee increase to cover that loan cost, but we wouldn't have to get an outside loan to fund that cost if the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency was willing to loan some of its funds that do not have to be designated towards post-closure and corrective action. That would be something that would have to be considered by the board.
Question in regards to the county is going out for COPs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Could this not be part of that process?
It could be as well.
Mm-hmm. And that would be.
Well, you know what you and I are on that.
Yeah, I don't know where the other three are.
The word is that if we're going to take a loan, I mean, I hate to. We're paying off loans at this level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
why have another loan to pay off the loan you've been paying off for coming for you? I'd rather just do it all at once than going to do it. My other question is if you borrow the money from our existing fund, does that do anything with regulations and reserves that you need for the other fund for those closures?
No, so it doesn't.
Is that a little bit risky though?
It is a little bit risky, not horribly risky. So we have to have funds designated for closure of phase one and phase two based on the amount of waste placed in each phase. So phase one for closure and post-closure is fully funded. Phase two is not. And so given that we have 30 years of post-closure expenses, we have all the funds set aside now for those estimated expenditures for those 30 years. So we're not going to have all of those expenditures in the first 10, 15 years. So that JPA 2 could pay back that loan to JPA 1, and JPA 1 would have that money available when it needed it for post-closure.
For phase 2.
For phase 2. That,
so you're taking a loan from yourself instead of an outside agency?
Yes.
Or some kind of a bond?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, the Sanitary Landfill Agency would want some sort of return on investment as well, I would anticipate, because they receive interest income, albeit very small right now. They do receive interest income for that, for those funds. But that would be something that I would create a full proposal for the board to consider. And we would have to look at it. That would have to be something that really, you know, would have to be determined. Most of the risk of a landfill is in the first 10, 15 years of it being closed, because you have the most settlement. After a landfill has been there for a long time, the chances of something coming up are less. That being said, you could have a 100-year storm event and you could have something huge, and that would cause a large event that you would have to fund. That would be something that the board would have to consider. We are one of the few jurisdictions that has their post-closure actually funded. Most jurisdictions rely on pledge of revenue, meaning that they're, and we have a pledge of revenue as well, just so we don't have to designate those funds, but we actually do have the funds in an account. So that's where we kind of differ. Whether we want to make a decision to use those funds for something other is truly a decision of the board.
Well, it's something related. It's not the exact, but how much is in that fund?
Currently, there's $6 million in the fund.
So we're looking at, I guess we're looking at taking 10% of that six with a payback in how many years?
It's probably what it would depend if the board wanted to consider a $1 per ton tipping fee increase or a $2 per ton tipping fee increase. A $2 per ton tipping fee increase could pay off the loan in 10 years.
But you're saying there's going to be a tipping fee increase whether we go with our loan to ourselves or whether we go to a loan with somebody else. It's no biggie.
It's just a matter of the interest rate.
I would much rather do it than a $2. I get to see it as a building in the building. You can drive up and they've got a new thing structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've heard it already. One of the problems I have with all of this, though, is, which was brought up the last meeting before, or when we started going through all this stuff, was the future of landfill and disposal right now, the future that we're kind of seeing. And closure and post-closure and 15 years and the trends of today's ecosystems to the people that are learning all that stuff. You know, if we start taking money out of this closure, post-closure fund and all the stuff that is kind of brewing and gearing up and cycling up, it could explode and go into directions that we can't even fathom. I can see it. This is the way society is going these days. And then we're stuck with, we loaned this much money, now we don't have the money here, and now we have to do something much more drastic. I don't mean to be looking at worst case scenario, but if you don't look at worst case scenario,
I mean, that's it. No, and I understand that. The reality is that the site is going to be there. Whether we're landfilling the material in the future, and I'm talking 15, 20 years down the road, whether we're landfilling material or not, it's not really so much of a question. We're going to be landfilling much less in the future, just because of regulations, because of new technology. That site will still be there, and the site will be there for processing, handling, different new technologies. There will probably be anaerobic digestion, different technologies to avoid having to landfill. but I do not see, as long as there's still waste being produced as a society, I don't see the site going away, especially since you have hauling agreements that require the haulers to send the waste to that facility. And that's how the whole structure is built.
Yeah, and I don't see it going away either. Kind of maybe an example is in 1906 or whatever it was, or 14 or 18 something, whenever PG&E first started building that gas plant out there. Well, at that time it was okay. You could build a gas plant, do what you want. Time went on and you had to build tanks now that don't leak, and then times went on, now you had to make sure they cleaned up off the ground. And 100 years later, now they had to buy that piece of ground back and spend millions of dollars. And
not that, done yet.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was, what I was thinking about. If we start spending this money, something could come back. And
certainly.
Rules can change. And,
certainly.
Well, you only put a 2-foot mat underneath that. Now you got to dig all up, put a 4-foot mat underneath all that.
Yeah, but whenever that goes wrong, first of all, we have to go to the landfill and take good care of it. But secondly, do you want to take some of the money set aside that you set aside and do an improvement that you need to do for long term? Or do you want to just sit that money there and wait until some federal agency tells you, give me four of that $6 million. And then we don't have the other million we need to build this building there.
Oh, I'm not standing here being opposed to this. I'm just trying to.
It's just a good discussion.
It's a good discussion. Yeah. I agree with you. But before I'm going to take a loan from somebody that's doing loans just to make a profit, I'd rather take a loan for myself.
Yeah.
If I could.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying we have a couple options. I think your COP kind of idea is a good one, but.
But then we're still paying somebody else.
Yeah, and given that we have another option, I think we need to exhaust the liquid.
I think so too.
But I hear what you're saying. We have it, but it's fully funded. You know how many, I bet there are a lot of places aren't fully funded with post-closure, all over, up and down the state.
Yeah, we're one of the few.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So, and that is something to be proud of. Because if something happens, we have the funds there to clean it up, and that is a resource for the community. It's something where, you know, honestly, what I would recommend is that the board have me, direct me to look at options available and create a report to the board for them to consider, and with more details presented.
The other side of all of that is, you know, loan ourselves money. And we build our thing, and you know,
and we'll be proud of it.
The bottom falls out from underneath the landfill world, and somebody comes back and says, "Where's your money to do this? You know, we're going to find you, we're going to feed you, we're going to, you know."
Okay.
My point is, you can either just say no, and then what are they going to do? They're going to come take it over? Well, good. Yeah. You don't want it anyway.
Then you take over the problems too.
Yeah.
Litigation is 3 to 5 years. So on a 15-year contract, the first 5 years were really exposed, the second 5 years were partially exposed, and the last 5 years we could do a rate fee and pay ourselves back and deal with it then.
So I need to work through this in my mind a little bit.
And then what I would also, estimate is post-closure expenditures are based on a worst-case scenario. So the actual chances that we would need
is less.
Yes. So
that's. Since we've been so frugal, we can at least explore that option.
I think you need to explore loaning it from the claims to the other for bringing that to the full board, would be my suggestion.
I would concur with that. Is there any other? We talked about two funding streams for this. You said there might be three. Is that what I heard earlier?
The third is outside funding,
COP
funds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we want to table that for right now. I'd rather go in-house than outside, unless it comes down to something that we need to research that. And we can always, the full board can tell you to go.
Well, yeah. I
And I'll make sure that I sign it with administration, that there's open communication so that we're aware if they're on some, if we need to be included, that we fall within their timeline.
You might talk to Bill, because they are doing the COPD stuff right now. Just be on it. Keep on going.
Well, and we've got interest in coming up.
The next of it. So phase one, office proposal, I think we've got a good census to go ahead. I wouldn't want to downsize it at all. I like the fact that you've got a paved parking lot. That's something else that the county didn't get. Oh, Steve.
Don't get me started.
That's a button push.
If you do it right the first time, it doesn't cost you.
The new ag center will not have paved parking lots.
What?
Really?
It's only part.
Partial. Yeah, it's a.
I found out the hard way.
Yeah.
That's hard to.
This day and age.
It's really hard.
Well, it's really hard to believe when you're sitting in a chair elevated for people to take shots at you, you don't know.
How did it happen?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
But we'll work on it later. I'm going to have a meeting from today to discuss this kind of thing in this chair.
So, interesting, Young?
Interest.
So as you can see on page 15 of your agenda packet, I just wanted to give you, every now and again, I like to give the board just a general sense of interest income, interest rate, and how they've changed over the years.
Yeah, and you don't even have to go too many years. You can't even feel the days that some of these things have changed.
Yeah, so the large drop that you see was actually from a drop in the fund balance when we purchased the property, the 148.98 acres. So we did purchase a large
buffer zone.
At the time, it was 148.98 acres. We purchased the 35 acres in the front, which I can say at the time, we didn't care one bit about those parcels. We wanted the 40 acres in the back parcels, so it is what it is. But as you can see, the fund balance dropped, but at the same time, interest rates dropped significantly, so much so that you can see how our interest income has declined for this agency. For the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency, it is much, much worse, and it is on the same fund balance. So whereas when times were good for the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency, they were receiving over $245,000 per year in interest income. Now I'm hoping and crossing my fingers for $30,000 on the same fund balance. That's not such a significant hit to this agency because we weren't receiving quite as much money in interest income throughout time, but you can see that it is still affecting the overall revenue for this agency.
But our budget has not been dependent on
interest income.
So that's a conservative mind that we take, which is a blessing. That's right.
So yes, it represents less than half of 1% of operating revenue for this agency.
And the next item, outreach.
I'm going to turn it over to Rachel. She's been doing some fantastic work for the agency as a new employee in the lead pass.
Okay, I was unprepared for this.
You want me to cancel it?
Maybe, yes.
Go ahead, Rachel.
She wrote the agenda item for the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency. I'll do it for her. She'll present it for the Sanitary Landfill Agency tonight.
Okay.
I'll make sure she's prepared for that. I didn't warn her,
you
so.
Can I tonight?
Yes, at 6.
In Corinth?
In Red Bluff.
The Holton?
No, Sanitary Landfill
Agency. I'm not on that.
Yeah.
No,
I must not be on that.
I don't think I am.
No, it's Wayne,
yeah.
Dennis,
Dave Lynette,
Tony Parkins,
and Jim Bouquet.
Did you hear from Wayne? I don't think he's
not. Yeah, we know he's not coming to the meeting. So agency staff are working with the Lake California Property Owners Association in its implementation of the Smart Business Alliance. They are our newest Smart Business Alliance member. Rachel has been very active in the community with the Property Owners Association, giving them presentation and working with staff members to make sure that they are all in line with recycling. We've also used some of our beverage container payment program funds to purchase indoor and outdoor recycling receptacles to further encourage them to recycle more. And they have also graciously allowed us to continue to provide recycling updates in their monthly newsletter. And so we do that every single month to the Lake California Property Owners Association. And we really, really appreciate this opportunity because it is very difficult to reach the North County residents because a lot of them don't subscribe to the Red Bluff Daily News. And so reaching them and letting them know about upcoming events is a challenge. She also developed an ad promoting beverage container recycling in the city of Corning that ran in the Corning Observer using beverage container recycling funds. And then she contacted grocery outlet to see if they would give out the orange battery bags for us because when Red Bluff True Value closed, we lost a business that not only gave out our battery bags for our curbside battery recycling program, but they also collected fluorescent lights for us. So as an agency, the Tama County Sanitary Landfill Agency took a huge hit when that business closed. Grocery Outlet graciously agreed to hand out the orange battery bags, which we really appreciate them doing so. So we now have another in-town option for people to pick up battery bags. We also partnered with the Red Bluff Community Center to make sure that they have recycling receptacles for large venue events. Three Clearstream recycling bins were supplied using grant funding that the agency has. And then as part of the 20th Cycle Household Hazardous Waste Grant, we have, and I didn't bring pictures and I promised to bring them for the next meeting, but on all of the green waste trucks, there's now signage that promotes hazardous waste disposal, fluorescent light disposal, and alkaline battery recycling. So if you see one of the garbage trucks driving by, take a look at them. They look really, really nice. And they not only make the trucks look better, but they promote our message. So I think it's a win-win for both the agency and Waste Connections. Waste Connections did fund $3,000 for that campaign as well, so it was appreciated. As part of that same grant, we developed point-of-sale ads, and it was very surprising that the number of big box stores that Rachel was able to get to post those point-of-sale ads. This is right where you purchase your batteries, right on that sale rack. She was able to get Walmart, which subsequently removed, but she's going to go back again, Walgreens, Radio Shack, Raley's, the Home Depot, Safeway, Rite Aid, McCoy's Hardware and Farm Supply, Hatfield's Ace Hardware, and Los Alamos Ace Hardware, all to agree to display point-of-sale ads for batteries, fluorescents, and hazardous waste. We are working on the exhibits for the For Our Kids bus. People are really excited about that bus, and we're working our best to get those exhibits in. It's slow moving, but we are getting them. We're working on two exhibits right now, and I hope to have it done by the end of school year. We were hoping to have it done to do a few presentations in the school this school year, but it just doesn't seem like it's moving along as fast as we would like it to. Rachel did outreach at the Red Bluff Chamber of Commerce's BEAM event at Red Bluff Community Center, where she promoted the Smart Business Alliance and the Recycled Market Development Zone. We're doing quite a bit of advertising for the Recycled Market Development Zone through the Red Bluff Chamber of Commerce as well. We are also promoting the Smart Business Alliance with the Red Bluff Chamber of Commerce. One of the goals of CalRecycle for our AB939 diversion programs is to really promote commercial recycling, so we're trying to really show that we're giving that full effort to get our businesses recycling.
I heard that from Chamber of Commerce. And I saw her out there, and the Chamber, for whatever reason, I'm sure there is good one, mentioned specifically the recycling. So I think it was successful. I think your parents out there were successful.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, yeah. So it's little by little. She's analyzing some data that we received from both the haulers, and we received data from North Valley Services about what entities, what commercial businesses they're servicing and by how much. The only hole we have right now is self-haulers, commercial self-haulers, as well as Omega Waste. We don't get any data from what Omega Waste picks up in our county. And so when we talk with CalRecycle about commercial recycling, I can't give them a full picture because I'm missing a large piece of the data. And so it looks like we're not doing as much commercial recycling as we really are.
Why won't Omega Waste give you any staff?
They're not required to because they don't have to have a solid waste facility permit. Part of that is under a bit of discussion, and I shouldn't talk about that publicly. But there is concern that they should have a solid waste facility permit, which would then require them to do some reporting.
They have a use permit?
No.
They don't need a use
they
permit?
They don't have to have a use permit.
So they don't have to.
When I see their trucks, I go to Sacramento too often, and I see their trucks coming over.
They collect all throughout the state loads of recyclables. They call it all recycling, but they pick up from Kohl's and Costco in the Bay Area, and they call it all recycling and process it in the Corning facility, supposedly. There's just a lot of concerns. So I would love to have more information. We just need more information. That it could be nothing wrong, but we just don't have enough information to know.
Well, this is the same facility that had problems a few years ago, correct?
Yes.
So we'll talk offline in a non-public meeting.
Agency staff held a free passenger tire collection event on January 18th. It was a very successful event whereby 3,411 passenger tires were collected. We didn't hold any events in fiscal year 12-13 because the grant wasn't offered. So in fiscal year 13-14, all of our events have been hugely busy. We also held an agricultural tire collection event the entire month of February, both at Lynette's Tire Shop in Corning and at the landfill. This was the first time that we ever had a collection site for Abbey Tires in Corning. And do you remember the total offhand?
130
Ag tires were collected from both sites. And then we also continue, even though the new contract at the landfill allows residents to drop off their electronic waste free of charge every day, we are still coordinating with Waste Tire Products for the free events the last Saturday of every month. And so over 5,620 pounds of electronic waste were collected last month at both locations.
Through that?
So we're talking
in 1 month.
In 1 month. So 2.5 tons.
Yeah, I have frequently the truck out of the
in regards to the tire collection, and I don't want to get a scribbled business control, but there's a motorcycle shop in the Antelope area. And I happened to be walking my dog this morning, and I seen his stack of motorcycle tires behind the door. So I don't know if he doesn't have, because he sells tires but most of his is people bring in a tire and have him install them on a motorcycle. And then he's got this, the waste tire. So I don't know if you can do some outreach and assist him rather than being stacked up behind his business where there is no alley. And to get there, you have to want to get behind his building. Because the alley does not, there's an alley that goes down there, but it doesn't come out. And so if you drive in, you have to back out. That's Bittner's place on where the lube oil.
Oh, that's Bittner's?
That's Bittner's building.
I didn't realize that was it.
Yeah. Antelope Shopping Center is Bittner's. And we're Red Bluff Auto Electric, not Red Bluff Auto Electric. We're Antelope Auto Repair and the transmission shop, and there's a motorcycle shop there. That motorcycle shop, his tires are on the backside, and please don't use my name, but my bike's in there being fixed. They're really good guys.
See what we can do to help you.
I just don't think that he's got an outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we'll let him know the different tire recyclers. They just be falling underneath the limits of what they can store on site, and so a lot of times they'll wait until they hit that limit before they ship them out, so that might be the case, but I'll let them know of the different tire recyclers.
Tony's a good guy. He's a struggling small business.
Yeah.
If they're outside though, this time of year, you know, it's out of town.
Yes. Well, that's why we have the waste tire grant. It's specifically for that reason. So, and so I gave presentations both at the Community Food Alliance and at the Red Bluff Garden Club regarding recycling and composting on February 10th and 25th that were well received. We will be holding a temporary household hazardous waste collection event on April 5th from 8 to noon at Evergreen Middle School in Cottonwood. This is part of our household hazardous waste grant from CalRecycle. They are funding this temporary event, which is a very nice service to the North County community, as there's a lot of research that shows that people will not drive farther than 15 miles to get rid of their hazardous waste. So you can anticipate that these folks do not have an option in their minds to get rid of their hazardous waste. So this will be a nice option for them. We are very thankful to Evergreen Middle School because they are helping us reach that community out there by not only putting the event in their newsletter, but also on their informational kiosk.
Does Lake California have a newsletter that you're in?
Yes, yeah. So it's advertised in the Lake California newsletter. And Rachel's really tied in. She's doing weekly monitoring of their recycling there at Lake California. So she's active in that community right now.
Yeah, I'm sure every school district will entertain that information and send out to their families too.
They actually did confirm that they would put it in their parent newsletter that would go out to all their parents.
Great. So is there research on if you have the orange bags or if you have a recycling container versus if you do not at a particular location, what percentage of the people will use the receptacles if they're available?
There is.
And how much is that?
So it depends if it's tubs or carts. The tubs people don't use. That's one of the things that we're looking at if we do go ahead and do some renegotiations of the hauling agreement on the county side. For raw, only residents in the unincorporated county that live in the more dense areas automatically get the blue rollout carts. If they don't live in the more dense areas, then it's an option and it's $2 extra per month for them to have the blue rollout carts. So because there's less participation and also because the hauling company doesn't want to have to stock any more of the tubs because they don't like servicing the tubs either, we're looking at possibly switching the whole entire county to the carts as part of those negotiations. It may or may not happen, but that's kind of one of the items that we're discussing. It is very low for those that have tubs. Very, very low. It's less than 10%. For those that have carts, there's a couple different factors that go into it. Some people that live in the unincorporated county that, you know, their road is 2 miles long to get to their house, they prefer the tubs because they can put the tubs in the back of their pickup truck and drive it down to the main road. But overall, if you're looking at participation for curbside using blue rollout recycling carts, it's anywhere between 75% and 90%.
That's great. I sure like the orange bags.
Yeah.
It just if I have an orange bag, then I have my batteries and stuff. I just throw them in there.
And I should say that I found this really interesting. I was looking at the Solid Waste Association of North America, its annual conference panels for this year, and one of them, they were bringing somebody in all the way from Canada that had a curbside battery, alkaline battery recycling program, all the way from Canada to give a presentation. I was thinking, we have that program right here.
Yeah, call me, call me.
But that's how special it is. Yeah. It makes it really, really easy for our residents.
And it is being used, I'm sorry.
Oh, Rachel can tell you, we fill up, depending on the month, but between 1 and 2 55-gallon drums full of batteries each month.
Really? Do you have anybody on the east side of the river that hands out the bags?
On the east side of the river? The closest, so we used to have Shasta Fasteners and then they closed. So the closest that we have going out that way would be all the way in Los Angeles.
What about the new guy that just went into the furniture store? He's the Walt dealer out there.
Red Buff Tool.
Yeah.
And those are good guys out there. They'd probably be more than happy to entertain
you. Yeah, and well, you know, actually businesses, as far as the battery bags go, it's, most businesses are eager to give out the battery bags for us. It's the fluorescence that we have a hard time getting people willing to collect. It's like so much labor on their part.
Go talk to Danny at the tool outlet. He used to be Danny the dog man at the post office.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He's not doing the hot dogs anymore?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. The only hot dogs you got in town right now are the one up at Home Depot.
Home Depot.
Home Depot and then Arco. Doesn't Arco still have hot dogs?
I don't go there.
But, $2 for $1.
But Danny is working at the tools place, and he probably would take on your fluorescence
for you. Yeah, we'll ask him about both. That's,
you know, and the other thing we ought to do, Steve Kimbrough is the new interim manager at the fairgrounds. Well, we've got AB 109ers at the fairgrounds. Why couldn't we have a fluorescent drop-off at the fairgrounds? Or we just bought the old Geno's appliance building. Why couldn't that be? That's going to be 8109. Probation is going to be moving there. The Dave Reporting Center is going to be there. Talk to Dave and Dick. And see if you couldn't have that as a fluorescent tube drop-off point.
And that might be another place that we fairgrounds. Well, the fairgrounds, because you pull into the fairgrounds, now what do you
do? Yeah, where do you go?
Yeah.
And you pull into that place, and there's a door, and the same thing goes.
And they're going to have a secretary there that could call somebody up from the front to, you know. So I talked to Dick. He's in Sacramento right now at a meeting, but,
so we'll make contact. You guys always have suggestions.
Anything else on the agenda?
That would be it.
You had us bring this thing?
No, that's for JP one.
That's tonight.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that I took off because I thought it got canceled, so I gotta be here at six.
Right, and I have one.
I have one, but I'm not on that group.
You got a sanitary landfill in there too?
Tammy County City, Red Bluff landfill.
No, I got the full one.
I got the full one.
Yeah, that's the full one.
I got that one too.
He gets both, cause he's on both.
Okay, this is for June 30th.
Yeah. So that will be presented at April 8th.
That's the April 8th, right, but it's for the June 13th. Okay.
So I got carried around in my pickup, my truck for another couple weeks.
If you want us to hold on to it, we can.
No.
Opportunity.
No, I put the stuff in there until I use it, because otherwise I'll forget it.
Well, we keep them in our briefcase, we'd rather us just hold on to it for you until then we can.
I'll keep it, cause my intent is to.
Peruse it?
Yeah.
I will still move. Did we adjourn?
We're adjourned.
Yep.